Yeah, see, yeah.
See, the movie even knows Bob Ross. Yeah. I think they're like immortalizing him. Well, wow.
There you go.
No wonder the trees were happy, right?
Yeah, right. Now we know. All right, let me get a couple other texts here about the support animal stuff, and then we're going to talk to a guy that actually does assign support dogs to military vets with PTSD. What about monkeys for paralyzed people? That wouldn't be a bad idea if you could train them to be, you know, civil and
I think they have monkeys,
wild.
Support monkeys, yeah.
John says there's a python snake trained to warn its handler they're about to have a seizure.
Yeah, because I'm about to choke you in the neck, by Mr. Snake said.
Does a penthouse pet or a Playboy bunny count as emotional support animals?
Well, I think it depends on who you are.
If you're in the entertainment business or in politics.
Yes.
Otherwise, I don't. Here's somebody that's afraid this is getting out of hand. It's like the way they hand out handicapped parking permits. Get the right doctor and you can have one too. Another text message, there was at one time a website where you could purchase for $250 a service animal vest patch and certificate for your dog. It stated that your dog was a certified service animal. So no matter what kind of dog, the official ESA registration of America register your dog, cat, or other animal. Get therapist letters, IDs, vests, and more. Well, this is your all access right here.
Right, this is it. It's on sale right now. For only $69.95, you can take your animal wherever you go.
That's what I mean. It's getting out of hand.
But you know what? Maybe it's not the animal. Maybe it's the people.
Well,
maybe
sure.
They're service people.
No,
maybe they're service people. Maybe the animal has an emotional distress, and it has to have its person.
It's a wonder the animals don't have more emotional distress hanging around us as much as they are, it seems, these days. So, as I mentioned, we talked about this a little bit yesterday with the guy with the support squirrel and the support pig on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call from Remy Simpson. And Remy, I've not talked to Remy. He left me a voicemail message, and then we communicated by text today.
Okay.
And Mr. Simpson has nicely agreed to come on the program here. And if I'm right here, Remy, you help assign service dogs to military veterans. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we sure do. We supply them free of charge to military veterans who are suffering from PTSD. We pull the dogs we rescue them from high kill shelters where they're on death row, and then we put them through a training program and then get them certified and then go ahead and place them with service veterans who are suffering from PTSD.
Would any dog do? Does the dog have to be a certain kind of dog? Does it have to be – could you use a mutt? I mean, what kind of dogs or do any dogs qualify here?
There are no specific rules as regards to breed. The American with Disabilities Act just specifies that a service animal should be a dog. Now, local areas may have their own specific rules widening that, but they can't narrow it. So it does have to be a dog in order to be a qualified service animal. And I tend to be partial toward pit bulls for a couple of different reasons. I think that they have a good temperament for this type of work. I think they're misunderstood, and of course they're at high risk within the shelter system.
Right.
But I think they can make the perfect service dogs. Of course, we test them for temperament before we put them into the program, and if they are non-reactive to noises and seem to get along well with others, then they can qualify for the program.
That's great. So where do you train them? This isn't one. I know there's some prisons that do some training of dogs and have some dogs on there. Where do you get your dogs trained?
Well, I do some of the training myself, and then we have people who, dog trainers who contact us and offer to do training as well. This hits home for a lot of people. A lot of people are concerned about PTSD, and one of the reasons I called in is because I know that, you know, everybody was kind of joking around about it yesterday, but I feel that there's a lot of misconception going on right now about service animals and about people with PTSD. PTSD is such a serious issue. When you've gone into battle or you've been in situations where you've had to kill people or you've been around explosions, all of this takes its toll, regardless of how tough a person you are. It's going to affect you. It's going to impact you. Mm-hmm. And it can impact you for the rest of your life. And it can create situations where things remind you of that, things that might not make sense to a normal person. But it's a very serious issue for the people who are struggling with it. And they've given everything they have to help us. So why shouldn't we help them in turn? Usually I find that veterans are the salt of the earth. The best people that we have are veterans, and they work hard to be tough. They do tough jobs, and when they get out, they're left with scars, and some of those scars are visible and some of them aren't.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more on that. Could you tell me, Remy, what exactly does the dog do for someone with PTSD? I mean, what service does it provide?
For someone who suffers with PTSD, what it does is it helps calm their anxiety. And this is, again, specifically defined by the American with Disabilities Act. A service dog in general has to perform a task. And as stated in the ADA, the task that a PTSD dog provides is it provides comfort for that person when they have an anxiety attack or when they're suffering from anxiety. And people who suffer from PTSD can be out in public or they can be in private and go through that situation. Now there, you know, I've heard some comments made about dogs not behaving well, too, and the ADA is also very specific about that. Your dog does have to be under your control at all times. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's off limits, and that's where the training comes in.
I've actually seen where the dogs can sense that somebody's going to have a seizure or is getting emotionally upset before the person does.
Yeah, that's true. And we try to train them to respond to that, to try to nudge the person and to help them with any issues they may have by reminding them that mm-hmm. their companionship is there. Your wife or husband can't always be with you. Your children can't always be with you. And sometimes just being alone creates problems within itself for somebody who suffers from PTSD.
Mm-hmm. Has what's happened here with the guy with the emotional support squirrel and the pig and, you know, all these other wacky stories, I mean, does that diminish?
I'm not sure.
Are you... It seems like some people are taking this to a ridiculous degree. I mean, we don't seem as a society anymore to cope with adversity as well as maybe we used to. I don't know that we have the intestinal fortitude. And I'm not talking about veterans necessarily. I'm just talking about people in general to where now they've extended this thing out to where I got to have an emotional support animal, even though they've never gone through a traumatic life experience. Where they would acquire PTSD, and you can get PTSD. I mean, people who've lost a loved one or a parent can suffer from PTSD, or particularly a spouse, the loss of a spouse, or somebody who's been through some sort of traumatic accident. So there are other ways to contract PTSD, but that's got to.
They're different, though. See, you keep using the term interchangeably, and a service dog is different than an emotional support dog.
I understand
that.
Yeah, the service dog. Is the trained dog that provides, for instance, sight to a blind person so that the blind person can get around.
Or to PTSD person who needs emotional support. A service dog still.
That's a service. Right. But Remy, with all this stuff getting extended out to support squirrels and pigs and everything else, and now we see a plethora of this kind of stuff, like the person that had the story about the poodle in the grocery cart, is that somehow... I don't know, cheapening the efforts of trying to get dogs to and get them trained and get them to people that really do need this for support?
Well, that's certainly a good point, and I don't know how to assess that. The ADA, I feel like the rules are already there that need to be there. What I don't want to see is more government intervention, and maybe that's just a personal issue. I don't think the government ever saved anything, and there's always going to be people who are going to abuse the system. Regardless of what you do, if you set up a bunch of new government regulations and if you establish a government entity to oversee service dogs, you're still going to have people abuse the system because that's what people do, unfortunately. And it does cheapen it when people do that. That's the harm that's done. And I hate to see that happen, but I'm not sure that we can legislate against it effectively without creating higher taxes and more government intervention. I don't want to see that. Right now, it's very difficult for people with PTSD, and the reason for that is because the doctors at the VA system are resistant to writing prescriptions for PTSD dogs for vets because they understand that there aren't enough to go around. Mm-hmm. And obviously we're trying to change that. But because of that, a lot of the vets that we deal with don't actually even have a prescription for a dog, but they very obviously suffer from PTSD. But there's been a slowdown in the prescriptions coming out of the VA because they don't want to overburden their system. Because once the doctor writes that prescription, then the VA is bound to have to supply that dog to the vet. And they can't do that in every circumstance. They just don't have the resources for that. They've got the resources to take care of maybe 5% of valid requests for PTSD dogs. So we don't try to pressure them too hard in that area. If a vet contacts us and they have PTSD, we sit down and talk to them and ascertain the validity of their of what they're going through, and then we take it from there.
Is there any cost to the veteran for this, or is this do you belong to this organization and you raise funds privately so that the vet doesn't have an out of pocket expense for this animal and the training?
We don't charge the veterans a nickel. Mm-hmm. Everything is completely free of charge. We supply the dog, the vest, the certification, leashes, collars, food, crate, the whole nine yards, and it's all completely free. We raise the funds through fundraisers. We do a poker run every year with American Legion 313, a great bunch of guys out there, and we have other private donors that step up and are happy to help us because the training does cost money. Mm-hmm. It's not cheap.
Right.
But every nickel we raise goes towards helping with this.
I think this is just so fabulous that that they can have them for free, and that you train them, and that you're using those sweet pit bulls or those Staffordshire Terriers that would otherwise be euthanized.
Yeah, because as Remy says, they're hard to adopt.
Right.
They're going to be difficult to adopt. What is the name of your organization, Remy?
Well, the name of the organization is Pause for the Cause, with the number 4, Pause for the Cause, and we're the umbrella organization of this initiative that we just rolled out recently called Mutts for the Military.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
Number 4.
Yeah.
Mutts for the Military. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what we're that's the organization that's underneath the larger organization that we're putting all of our efforts into for the veterans.
And if somebody wants to go to a website and learn more or perhaps make a donation, where would you take them?
They can go to pauseforthecause.com, and they can also find us on Facebook. Again, it's the number 4, so it's pause, P-A-W-S, the number 4, thecause.com, and /pause. The number 4 TC on Facebook or Instagram.
Okay. And just lastly, how many, do you have a number of how many veterans you've provided these dogs for around Central Kentucky?
Well, we're still in the baby stages. We just rolled out in Memorial Day.
Oh, okay.
So we've only helped a few so far, and we work with some people to help them training on their own dogs, and we try to we've got dogs that are in training right now, and we'd like to help as many as people. Our goal is to get up to 20 dogs a year if we can, but it's very work intensive.
Yeah, I bet. And well, you just got started back on Memorial Day. Well, Remy, listen, I appreciate you reaching out to us. Mm-hmm. And explaining your all's mission and trying to give us at least some sort of context to all of this stuff with the service animals and the work that you all do and how beneficial it is, and trying to separate that from the silly.
Well, and I think that you'll probably get some calls from people who may know veterans that could use your services or need dogs.
Yeah, right. Or hopefully people will donate to help offset the cost. Mr. Simpson?
Well, there's an application on our website for if you want a service dog, you can fill out the service dog application and we'll get back to you.
Okay. Well, right. If there's anything else we can do to help you, don't hesitate to ask.
Well, thank you, Cruiser. I sure do appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Remy Simpson, Pause for the Cause. That's the umbrella organization, and You all shoot as mutts for the military. So there, so that, like I said, this sort of now separates the serious and the true need from what's getting silly and ludicrous.
And then I think
about all this.
There are medical dogs that are trained that are cost $2,000-$5,000 that, you know, go with children to school and things like that. So there's a whole degree of them. But Secret Squirrel and Peppa
and the pig on the plane. Yeah, that gets a little silly.
Yeah.